Good morning, everyone. Yeah. It's indeed a pleasure for me to come this morning to share God's word with you. It's a joy for my family and I to always come and join you in fellowship and just to share God's word. And I just want to thank you for your support for the Bible Institute of South Africa. We know that you pray for us and you support us in various ways. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We'll be looking at verses 10 to verse 11. I'll read from the NIV. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 to 11. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection, and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. Let's pray. Heaven Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word that we have read, Lord, from Philippians. And Lord, we pray so that, Lord, you will speak to us, Lord, through these words as we spend some time, Lord, meditating on these verses. Father, we pray so that, Lord, you reveal the wonderful truths that we see in your word. So, Lord, we want to commit this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And, I mean, just to give a bit of a background, you find that Paul is writing the letter to the Philippians while he was in prison. So you find that while he was in prison, the Philippians sent some gifts to him so that they could support him. So they sent a servant from the church to minister to Paul. And you find that, you know, Paul, you know, in his epistle, he encourages the believers. He encourages the believers with the great truths that we find in the Word of God. And in chapter 3, Paul, you know, talks about himself. Remember, there were some people who were attacking Paul, the Jews. They were coming to saying to Paul, you know, Paul, you know, the law is very important. And Paul responds by saying that, look, I was a Pharisee. I pursued the law. But now that he has found Christ, everything is garbage to the surpassing worth of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is what Paul is doing in chapter 3 that we have read. But just before looking at that chapter, I would like to read a little bit of a background to that passage that he writes in Philippians chapter 3. And this is, I just want to look back because this is going to help us to understand what Paul is saying. I just want to read some few verses from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 6. And these verses, they sort of give us a background of what was happening in the life of Paul. And you find that, you know, in Acts chapter 9, Luke records Paul's conversion. And this is what he says in verse 1. He says, meanwhile, Saul was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and he asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners in Jerusalem. So Paul got up and he got authority to go to capture the believers. And in verse 3, we are told that as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly light from heaven flashed around. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." He replied, "Now get up, go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do." So here we see Paul on the Damascus road, and you find that, you know, at this point in time, he was known as Saul. The Lord changed his name later on to Paul. So he was on the way to Damascus, and he was confronted with Christ. And you know, and his aim was go. He was trying to persecute the church. He was trying to get rid of Christ. He thought that Jesus Christ is the problem. So he needed to get rid of Christianity. So that's why he went to look for these letters that would give him authority to do that. But as we read, as we've read from Luke, you find that, you know, Paul meets Jesus. And when he met Jesus, life was never the same anymore. He got converted. And as we read in Luke chapter 9, verse 11, we see Paul praying to Jesus for the first time. As we look down the verses up to verse 20, we see Paul now proclaiming Jesus everywhere, that Jesus is the Son of God. And friends, I want to say that salvation is the sovereign act of God, where in which God himself invades the sinner's heart of darkness, and he gives him that light of salvation. And, you know, the psalmist in Psalm 27, he says this, he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." So you find that, you know, salvation comes from the Lord. So in Acts chapter 9, we are seeing what was happening around Paul. But when we come to Philippians chapter 3, what do we see? We see something happening in the mind of Paul. So this is what we see. So we see, you know, Paul comes to a point where he realizes that his heritage as a Jew, his heritage, his achievements as a Pharisee, all of these things were actually worthless. And Jesus talks about a parable in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus talks about the parable. He says that the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in the field. When a man found it, what did he do? He went away and sold everything to get that particular treasure. In a sense, we can say this is what was happening in the life of Paul. You find that he looked at his former status. He looked at all the things that he was pursuing as a zealous Jew. And he comes to the point, he realizes that all of these things is garbage. All of these things is rubbish, as compared to the Christ of the surpassing value. Jesus Christ is more important than all these things. So this is what's happening in the life of Paul. Paul was converted, and he realizes that all these things that he pursued before, they are utter garbage. And friends, I want to say this is the truth about salvation. When you and I come to know the Lord, we realize that all other things that used to matter for us, they are no longer matter anymore in comparison to the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to share with you that in this passage, in these verses that we have read, verses 8 to 11, you find there are five things that Paul discovers. So there are certain things that Paul has lost. He has discovered that his race, his rank, his tradition, his religion, all these things are useless before the Lord. Then there are five things that he discovers. And this is what I want us to focus on this morning. He discovers five things. And I'm going to mention them, then we're going to look at them one by one. He discovers the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul comes to discover the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. Then secondly, he discovered the righteousness, a righteousness that God has put on us as believers. This is not the righteousness that comes from the law, but this is the righteousness that comes from Christ. So he discovers a righteousness of Christ. And this is the beauty of salvation. When you and I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, when we were converted, we came, the Lord put in on us Christ's righteousness. Christ's righteousness. Thirdly, he discovered a power. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. So there's a power that God has put in our lives, the power of his resurrection. Fourthly, he discovered also fellowship. Fellowship. He says that I now have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I now communion with the Lord Jesus Christ in his suffering. So we have fellowship in the suffering, in suffering with Christ. Then fifthly, he discovered the whole issue of glory. There's a glory that waits ahead in the life for the believer. So those are the five things that he discovered. So I want to focus on the first one. I'm going to look at the first one. He says there, number one, he says that he came to know, he came to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see this, you know, Paul talks about that. He gained this knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, I want to say that, you know, when God looks at us, He's not impressed by our heritage. He's not impressed by our rank, our status. But you know, what happens is that God wants us to have this knowledge. And this is what Paul talks about. He says, what more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. Knowing Christ. And this is the knowledge that Paul gained there. And brothers and sisters, I want to say that this knowledge that Paul is talking about is not an intellectual knowledge, but it's an experiential knowledge. It is when you and I get to know Christ, we begin to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We get to know him, having this experiential knowledge. And this is what Paul is talking about. Here he's talking about the fact that, you know, he gained this knowledge. And this is knowing Christ surpasses everything in this world. And Paul is saying that, brothers and sisters, knowing Christ surpasses everything else. I would rather give up everything else so that I will know Christ. So we find that Paul, after his encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road, everything changed. He gained this knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ there. And you find that, you know, this is the knowledge that God gives us. Remember that, you know, in John chapter 3, Jesus talks to Nicodemus. He says, unless you are born again, you cannot experience God. So this is a knowledge, this is the knowing of Christ that happens at our conversion. And Jesus talks about this also in John chapter 10. He says, Jesus says, I know my sheep, and my sheep, they know me. So there's this knowledge that we have gained when we came to know Christ. So when you look at salvation, salvation results in us coming to know Christ. Salvation results in us having this relationship, this deep, intimate relationship with Christ, this communion with the Lord. And this is what Paul gained. Paul gained this knowledge of Christ, this relationship with Christ. And this relationship, brothers and sisters, it is characterized by love and intimacy with God. So we can have intimacy with God. We can get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you find that this is an experience that takes place in our lifetime as believers. We grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we find that Paul, the first thing that he gained was the knowledge of Christ. And my brothers and sisters, as I reflect on this, I ask the question, is that, do you have this knowledge of Christ? Do you have this knowledge of Christ? Do you know Christ personally? Do you have an intimacy with him? Do you have this deep knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because brothers and sisters, when you and I have that knowledge, when we come to know Christ, we realize that everything else, it becomes garbage. So the first thing is that Paul gained the knowledge of Christ. The knowledge of Christ. Then secondly, what do we see in verse 9? He gains a righteousness. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see this in verse 9. He says this, and being found in him, in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. Remember that Paul was a zealous Pharisee, and they tried to attain some form of righteousness by keeping the laws, by ticking the box again and again. But Paul now, he says that in Christ is found a righteousness, not of his own, a righteousness, not the righteousness that comes from the law, but the righteousness that comes through having faith in Christ. So you find that Paul gained a righteousness. So brothers and sisters, when you and I come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, God puts on us this righteousness of Christ upon us. In theology, we say God imputes that righteousness. In other words, it's not my righteousness, but it's the righteousness of Christ. And what happens is that as I live the Christian life, you find that God is at work, you know, making me righteous just like Christ. So we are seeing a righteousness that Paul talks about here. And remember that Romans 3 verse 20 says this. It says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. So the laws and other legalistic ways cannot never make us righteous. They can never make us righteous. We need that righteousness that is produced by Christ. In other words, we cannot achieve this righteousness in our own strength. It's not a self-righteousness. It's not a self-righteousness. It's not a righteousness that's based on human merit, but this is a righteousness that God has put on us. I remember some years ago when I became a believer, I did not quite understand, how do I become holy? And, you know, I went to one of these scripture union. I went to a Christian school, a mission school, and went to scripture union. And the teaching that was taught there was not quite correct. Because they say that if you do X, Y, Z, you become holy. God accepts you. God accepts you. And Paul is saying, this is not the case. We have received a righteousness that comes from Christ. Not our own righteousness. Not our own righteousness. So, and this is a righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. This is the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. So Paul talks about this righteousness. Then thirdly, what did Paul gain? Paul gained the power of Christ. In verse 10, he says this, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. So you find that, you know, as a believer, he gained knowledge of Christ. He gained the righteousness of Christ. Thirdly, salvation provides the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is what Paul gained there. He gained this power, this spiritual energy that comes from Christ. Remember, as I mentioned, you find that Paul, as a Pharisee, was trying to keep the laws. And he realized that, you know, in trying to do so, he could not fulfill, keep the law perfectly. Why? Because there is no power in the law. But there is power in Christ. So you find as a believer, God has given us some power. God has given us a power that in which you and I, we can overcome sin in our flesh. So this is the power that Paul is talking about. So there is a power of God working in us. And this is what Paul is talking about. And he refers to this. He says, this is the power of his resurrection. Resurrection power that the believer has them. And this is what Paul is talking about. And we ask the question, but why does Paul refer to a resurrection power? Why does he refer to the resurrection power? I think he refers to the resurrection power because it was in Christ's resurrection It was in his resurrection that he most graphically demonstrated the extent of his power. And this is very, very, very important. Why? Because when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, what did he do? He showed that he is very powerful over the spiritual world. He showed that he is very powerful over the human realm, the realms of death. So Jesus Christ is powerful. So this is the resurrection power that God has put in us. This power is at work in our lives as believers. So you find this resurrection power, it is the power that brought us to salvation. At the same time, it is the power that is at work as we live the Christian life, the power of God. As we walk in the life of newness of life, as we live the life, the Christian life, there is this power that God has put in us. And this power is a resource that God has given us. Because we, you and I, as believers, we face temptations. How are we going to be victorious over temptations? Not in my strength, but in the strength of God. So you find that is the resurrection power that is at work in our lives. So we can conquer temptations. We can save Christ, you know, through that power. And through that power, we can overcome trials. And through that power, we can be made strong when you and I are weak. When you and I are going through difficult challenges in life, sometimes you ask yourself, how am I going to get through it? But guess what? The Lord gives us the power that we need to be able to go through. So he strengthens our spirit. He strengthens us by the spirit in the inner man so that you and I can live a victorious life. So brothers and sisters, we have seen that, you know, we have gained a knowledge. There is a knowing of Jesus Christ that we have gained. And Paul is talking about that. This is what he gained. He gained this righteousness that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, he gained this power that comes from Christ, the resurrection power. Then fourthly, he talks about the fact that, you know, he gained fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see that in verse 10, he says that we participate in the fellowship in his suffering. We participate in the fellowship with his suffering. So brothers and sisters, you believe Paul is talking about the fact that, you know, believers in our lives is not going to be easy. We go through times of suffering. But he's saying that, you know, when you and I are going through those moments of suffering, guess what? We have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have got fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may ask the question, but why do we have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ when we are going through suffering? Brothers and sisters, the point here is that Jesus Christ suffered beyond any form of suffering that you and I will ever go in this life. So he is the one who comes alongside with us. He is the one that he communes with us when we are going through suffering. There is fellowship he brings. We are not alone, in other words. I think some of you, you know, I enjoy watching soccer and I support Liverpool. And they've got this slogan, you will never walk alone. But I'm telling you, for the believers, it's more than that slogan that the Liverpool supporters have. Jesus Christ is with us when you and I are going through a time of suffering. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the high priest who cares for us. He is the high priest who is able to sympathize with us in our times of weakness. So he's the only one who cares for us. He understands what you and I are going through. He feels the pain that you and I are going through. He has gone through the various temptations, even beyond that you and I will ever go through. So we have fellowship with him when it comes to suffering. And brothers and sisters, I want to tell you that, you know, Christ's presence is deep, is deep and real when you and I are being persecuted for the gospel. You will never walk alone. He is with you. We need to know that Jesus Christ is with us. When you are going through persecution, he's always with us. He doesn't leave us. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted for his name. He mentioned that twice. Why? Because of the fellowship. He never leaves us. There is fellowship. We have that fellowship in his sufferings. Remember, brothers and sisters, that Jesus Christ was rejected. He was mocked. He was despised. He was hated. He was killed because of his love for God. And Paul was going through this kind of trial where he was being imprisoned. Why? Because of the gospel. And Paul is telling us that, you know what? We share in the suffering with Christ. Christ does not leave us when you and I are going through a difficult time. I don't know what kind of challenge that you are presented with in your life, but I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is our real comfort. I just want to tell you that Jesus Christ partners with us when we are going through suffering. He communes with us when we are going through suffering there. And he cares for us. So Paul tells us that we partake, we've got fellowship with Jesus Christ when it comes to suffering. So these are the fourth aspect that we have received when you and I became believers. So you don't despair. Don't be filled with despair as if there is no hope. Why? You will never walk alone. Christ is available for us. He does not abandon us. The word of God tells us, neither will he forsake us or leave you. He will never leave us when we are going through challenging times for the sake of the gospel. Then fifthly, what do we see? We've seen that salvation results in knowing God. Salvation results in a righteousness, not of our own, the righteousness of Christ. We have seen that salvation brings a resurrection power. And we have seen that salvation brings a fellowship in suffering with Christ. Lastly, you see that the salvation also brings results in a glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We glory, we see the glory of Christ. And you find that Paul mentions this in verse 11. He says this, and somehow attaining the resurrection of the dead. So Paul here is talking about the resurrection. Now, if you look at this word that is used here, resurrection, this word appears only once in the New Testament. And it refers to out of resurrection. That's what it means. In other words, Paul is saying that I want to attain the out of resurrection from the corpses. So in other words, he's saying that, you know, when you and I die in this world, Paul is saying that for the believer, there's a resurrection. It's not the end anymore. There's a resurrection. There's an out of resurrection where you and I, we are resurrected. We are resurrected. For the believers, we are resurrected. The Bible tells us that when Christ appears, we are going to be transformed and have the heavenly body. And this is what Paul is talking about. An out of resurrection experience. An out of corpse experience. This is what Paul is talking about. And he explains this a little bit further in verse 20. If you look at that with me, he says this, our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. We eagerly wait for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies. He's going to transform these bodies of flesh and blood. And they'll be like his glorious body. So Paul is talking about, you know, the fact that you and I as believers, because we have been converted, we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, death is not the end. We look forward to a time where we are going to be in our glorious bodies, where God is going to transform this body made of flesh and blood into the glorious body, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the blessing that we find. When we come to know God, when you become a believer there. And this is what Paul is talking about. He desired that, he wanted to attain that resurrection, that glorious body there. And this is what Paul is talking about, brothers and sisters. That we as believers, death is not the end. There is hope where we're going to be, we are going to be with our God in this glorious bodies there. And brothers and sisters, I just want to challenge you as I round up the sermon. You know, remember like Paul, he says when he came to know Christ, he considered everything as rubbish. I want to ask you this morning, what are you holding on? What are you holding on to? For Paul, Christ was everything. For Paul, Christ was everything. Remember like what Jesus says, he says, what good is it going to be if you gain the whole world and you lose your own soul? Remember also that parable that I mentioned, you know, the parable that we saw, we see in Matthew chapter 13. When that person found the treasure, what did they do? They went back and sold everything so that they can buy that special pearl or that special treasure there. And that's the question that I'm asking you. What are you holding on? Is Christ your everything? Because for Paul, Christ was everything. He considers his rank. Remember, this guy was educated as a Pharisee. He says it's all garbage. Remember that he pursued his tradition. He says, if you are talking of being a Hebrew, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. But he considered all that rubbish. Why? Because of Christ. Christ was everything. Christ was everything. Remember, like as we have seen this morning, you know, Paul gained the knowledge of Christ. He gained the righteousness of Christ. He gained the power of Christ. He gained the suffering. He participates in the suffering of Christ. And not only that, we gain this glory that awaits ahead of us after this life on earth. And you know, for Paul, Christ was the most important thing. Christ was the pearl. Christ was the treasure. And I want to say to you that, you know, wise people, when they find this hidden treasure, what do? They go and sell everything. And they make this treasure the most important thing. May the Lord help us so that we do not hold on certain things that are no longer valuable for us. Christ must be everything for us. And that was the reality with Paul. Let's pray. Heaven, Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for salvation, the gift of salvation. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that each and everyone who is here, Lord, at some point in our lives. And Lord, you have, through your spirit, Lord, you have brought a new heart in all of us. Christ, you become the most important thing in our lives. Help us, Lord, not to hold on to certain things that are not of eternal value. Help us, Lord, not to hold on certain things such as status, such as our heritage. But Lord, we pray so that, Lord, we value you, Lord Jesus Christ, as everything, as the most important treasure in our lives, Lord. And Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation, that, Lord, you will come to know you, Lord. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, we no longer pursue you, Lord, in our own strength, in our own righteousness. But thank you, Lord, for your righteousness that has been put upon us, O God. And thank you, Lord, that we don't live the Christian life in our own strength. But, Lord, we can live the Christian power life in your power, the resurrection power that is at work in our lives. Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for these blessings that we have received, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we participate in your sufferings, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that when we suffer for you, Lord, God, you never abandon us. But, Lord, you are with us. Thank you, Lord, that we never walk alone. But Jesus, you are always with us, Lord. So thank you, Lord, for this wonderful word that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, for this glory that awaits ahead of us, Lord. When one day we're going to be translated and we are going to be transformed in the glorious body of Christ. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have in you, Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this word that we've meditated upon, Lord. We pray so that, Lord, you continue to ring this word in our hearts throughout this week, Lord. As we think about the life of Paul, Lord, we pray so that, Lord, we realize that everything else is garbage other than the surpassing value of knowing you, O God. So, Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.